Great to gather together with you this morning here at Jericho Road. Hope you know we count it a privilege just to travel with you, see what God has for us. Experience His work, His touch in all our lives. So welcome to each of you. Good stuff. Just all kinds of great stuff going on around here. Well, we are traveling through, getting ready to wrap up what are called the Psalms of Ascent. We've arrived at the last one. It's Psalm 134. So turn, if you would, now to Psalm 134 as you come to this time to let God speak to us through His Word. While you're turning there, just a quick mention. My wife, Kathy, is amongst a group of speakers up at the Calvary Chapel Murrieta Conference Center there for a women's retreat that's going on up there. So that's where Kathy is this morning. If you're one of the ladies that look forward to your hugs, just ask her next week for two, and you can catch up on hugs from her. Jeff mentioned that the pastors, Sayyid Abedini is a pastor that we have as a church, and many churches have been praying for a long time, and I guess apparently he just got released with his whole deal with Iran and everything, but so he's been released, so we're thanking God for answered prayer there. That's good to hear there, and just keep him in prayer as he kind of assimilates back into everything, gets back with the family and all, but I want to make sure to mention that. It's great to hear about that and all. Well, we have indeed arrived at the last song of the Songs of Ascent. Remember, the Songs of Ascent were songs that the pilgrims sang as they made their way up to Jerusalem for one of the three various feasts that they were called to go to during the year. So to Song of Ascent means as they ascended up in elevation, as they gathered from all over Israel and beyond, as they would come up to there, they would sing these songs, not just once they've arrived, but along the way. But they're recorded for us to be songs for our pilgrimage, songs to be sung along the way until such time as we're home with the Lord. Well, we've arrived at the last one of those. Now, if you haven't been here, that's fine. Each one is kind of structured in such a way you don't need to have been here, hopefully, to gather from it. Indeed, from this wrap-up time today, I trust there'll be something for each of us, all of us, whether you've been here or not. But these 15 songs, they are just so wonderful for all of us who travel in this life's pilgrimage with the Lord. This morning, Psalm 134, a song of ascents. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. All right. Three verses. Pastor might be done with plenty of time for us to go see the football game. I don't even know what time the game even starts, by the way. But you might see three verses. You go, oh, this is going to be quick. Well, as you know, these are loaded with all kinds of good things for us. So let's just settle down and see what God would have for us. We're kind of settle in our seats now and let God speak to all our hearts. Three verses, but each verse has the word bless in it, you probably noticed. The first two are a call to bless the Lord. The pilgrim's call, bless the Lord. The last call is a response. It's a call for Him to bless us. This is such a fitting song. And of course, we understand that God structured these, the order of these, and it's so appropriate that this be the wrap-up to these pilgrim psalms. Matter of fact, that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to have a wrap-up time through all of them. We're going to have a time to help us, hopefully, have a handle on these important songs as we travel with the Lord. And I pray we'll travel with the Lord with these songs on our lips and in our hearts. But this is such a fitting wrap-up song. I've called our time in this psalm, by the way, Bless the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll keep away the distractions right now for myself and everyone here. That you'll give us a focus, Lord, not just a focus of thought, but a focus of heart. That, Father, you would, by the Holy Spirit, take now your word and help us go beyond intellectual consideration. Let there be heart change. Let there be that work that only you can do in each of our lives. And, Lord, let there be that preparation for our life's journey. These pilgrim journeys and all of these psalms point to these awesome songs that declare who you are. What you have for us in this life's journey. Lord, many here struggle. Many are going through rough seasons. But thank you, Lord. Thank you for all we find in you, as pointed to in these psalms. So, Lord, now have your way. Work amongst us. Work within us, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just work our way through the verses, then we'll do kind of some wrapping up in all of it. Verse 1, Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. The immediate context is there's a call here. There's a call to those who tended the temple during the night. Let me explain. The temple always had priests serving at the temple day and night. Long after the crowds would clear out, there were those Levites, the priests, who were assigned to maintain duties and all in the temple all night long. And one thing this is doing is it's calling them, it's to those who says, all you servants who by night stand in the house of the Lord, bless the Lord. And remember, their service, of course, itself was worship. And our service is worship. But it should never be just that. I mean, it shouldn't be just service. But there should be actual worship, as we'll see in verse 2 in just a moment here. But while others slept, there were those who were in the house of the Lord, taking care of the things of the Lord in the temple there, and particularly the call, bless the Lord. No matter the hour, worship the Lord. No matter who sees, be about your calling. Be about what God has called you to do. So they're serving in the wee hours of the night, but they're worshiping the Lord, and the Lord knows that. Just as the Lord sees you as you serve, whether it's before the crowds or not, whatever it might be you're doing, who notices? The important thing is know about this. Know this. Be about Him, and He sees. And the call here is bless the Lord. Bless the Lord with our hands in service, with our hearts. Bless the Lord in song is the call. All you servants of the Lord, behold, bless the Lord. Verse 2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The idea here was the call is to be fully engaged in worship. The idea of lifting up their hands was the call, make sure that you're into this thing. That was the idea. If you go to Jerusalem, even today, and you go over to the Western Wall, where you go there and you see all the groups there praying, they have a section for the men, and they have the women's section there at the wall. But you see the Jews there at the Western Wall praying. They'd write their prayer request on little notes and paper and stick it in the wall, and you see it all over the wall there. And they're praying. If you've been there, though, you remember one thing probably. When you go there and you'd see the Jews all there before the wall praying and all, many of them would be doing something. You remember what it was? If you've been, they stand there and they don't just pray. They do this. They're always moving. You watch them and they're always praying. One commentator said it must be a chiropractor's dream. But they're always praying. They're always moving. And if you ask someone in the know, why do you do that? They say, because we're told to worship the Lord with everything, with all our heart, soul, and strength. And so they literally say, that means your whole body, your whole being should be involved in prayer. And so they do that. They pray, they're crying out, and they're doing a lot of motion, a lot of bowing, a lot of moving. You'll see that even today. Well, that's kind of the idea here. Lift up your hands means be into it. He's worthy to be into it. He's worthy to be praised. Lift up your hands. Never out of some rote thing, but I would encourage you. If our worship, if hands are lifted, if they're lifted in true gratitude, then awesome. Do it. If they're lifted in a response to His love, a love from you, responding to His love, then do it. Indeed, how can we hold back? Why would we hold back? Hands lifted can represent surrender. They can worship. They can represent receiving, just praise, adoration. It's fine to do that. We encourage you. Again, not to be seen by others. Matter of fact, that's oftentimes why people won't. They're a little bit afraid of what people might think of them. So they don't want to lift their hands and all. But I'm going to encourage you. Remember how the psalm opened? Behold. That means look. In this case, quit looking around. Oh, what are they going to think? I better not get into this thing too much. And look up. Look up, it says. Behold, look up and bless the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. In verse 3, the Lord who made heaven and earth bless you from Zion. Now the priest responds, so to speak. They now call upon the Lord to bless the people. The people have said, hey, bless the Lord. And they in turn, they would represent the people to the Lord, and they turn around and represent the Lord to the people. So they would turn around and say, the Lord bless you. Bless the Lord, and the Lord bless you. The Lord who made heaven and earth, it says. We've seen that before in these Psalms of Ascent, that direct statement of who it is. As we come to this time of studying what pilgrims sing about and what we're all about and all, we notice that. It's important to remember, and it's declared who this is all about. It is the God who made heaven and earth. It's the God of Genesis 1:1. It's the God who is. That's the one that we are singing about, traveling in. That's the one we're encouraged to know and grow in. All those things that wrap up in this. He is the Creator God. And so the Lord who made heaven and earth, may He bless you from Zion. And there's the benediction. That declaration now upon God's people. The Lord bless you. Don't take it for granted. Don't get used to it. You know, if I can interject here, I've had a really interesting week myself. You didn't come here to hear about me, but you have to put up with it. But I just want to share that I've had a really interesting week, a good week. I had a couple of interactions with some people here at the church that God used to really stir my heart and really remind me of some things. And I just want to share that God's working in this old guy's heart. And there's really been some interesting, some good stirrings going on, some good things reminding me. And I just want to remind you, don't get used to God. Don't coast. Some of us who are a little older, especially if you're older in the Lord, you can get used to things. You kind of get settled. Well, I got my walk and it's right here, and I got my friends in the Lord, and I go to church here and all. God's been really shaking me in some good ways and stirring my heart, really fanning some flames. And I trust all of us to make sure we do that. Don't get used to it. Don't get comfortable and just coast in the Lord. Let's let Him move in our midst and do some good things. And bless the Lord is the call, the privilege. Lord bless you. So, as we wrap up these pilgrim psalms, just always remember how it closes. The Lord bless you. How very faithful God is to us on this pilgrim's journey. That He's for us and not against us. The forgiveness and the hope and the life and everything we found in Him. We'll say more about that in a moment. But just how blessed we are. It says, Lord bless you, and we'd have to say, He has, and He is, and He will. How blessed we are in Jesus. Don't lose sight of that. Let Him get us excited about it again, if you've gotten used to it. Well, that's the songs of ascent. 15 of them, good stuff. But now some thoughts as we kind of come to the end of this particular series, if you would call it that. Songs, of course, are interesting. Songs help us remember things, don't they? Songs help us memorize things. Oftentimes, like the kids in the children's ministry or something, we'll take a scripture or a truth about God and we'll put it to song. Probably many of you, the same thing. You've learned particular scriptures and truths about God through songs. Songs just help us stick things better. The repetition part of it and all, they just come associated with that. Plus, couple with that, the idea that just songs themselves are just, they're in there, aren't they? I could probably play a particular song or some psalms, and just the first line would, you'd remember the whole thing. That whole song would just spring to mind because you repeated it and that tune, the melody's in there and all, and you just remember it because of song. Songs help us remember things, help us identify things. And they point to what's behind it, of course. I mean, if I say to you, oh, say, can you see? By the dawn's early light. You probably know what that's referring to. If you don't know what it's referring to, then I understand. But most would say, oh, that's our national anthem. He referred to the national anthem. And you would hear it, and you could think of the whole thing. And it's talking about, oh, they looked out, and the battle was going on. But our flag still stands, and we're the home of the brave and all. And it points to the flag and the nation and all. And it comes to represent the whole package, doesn't it? I had to say the first line, and all that comes to mind. And that's the idea of Psalms that we're looking at. I mean, if I said to you something like, as Jesus was on the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why did He do that on the cross? What would that mean? Well, for every Jew present, they would have known right away what He was saying from the cross. That's the first line of Psalm 22. And that was known to be a messianic psalm. It spoke of all the Messiah would go through on our behalf. And as Jesus spoke that out, they would have right away said, that's Psalm 22. He's declaring that He's the one fulfilling that. And He did, of course, do that. Because we're the why. He says, my God, why are you forsaking me? So that you and I wouldn't have to be. That's why Jesus was there. But they would have known that. It has all that wrapped up in it. It spoke of the whole psalm and what the psalm was referring to. And Jesus was fulfilling it. If I'd say to you a line such as, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," you probably would know where that's at. Well-known Psalm, Psalm 23. You know that. We've learned it since we're young. We hear it at funerals in different places, appropriately so. You would know that in that is that whole, captures the whole meaning. And it also reminds us that we have a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is that good shepherd. Peter calls him the chief shepherd. And he's our shepherd. It points to Jesus and who he is to us. See, each one of those songs, the Psalms, remind us, they have a whole package included in it. I'm going to go through now and I'm going to read through the first part of each one of the songs of the ascent. I'm going to be projecting them up on the screen so you can look up here, or you can go right there in your Bible and read it there to see that I'm indeed doing so. And some of these will just be the first verse, and some of these will be the first couple of verses to catch the theme of it. But you'll see what I mean in just a moment and why we're doing this. Remember, songs capture ideas, capture truth, in this case, truth about God for our journey. So you can go, oh yeah, I know where to find that. Hey, I'm going through this. Oh, I know a psalm that declares this about God. And it helps us go to them in the midst of it. Let me show you what I mean. The first one we read about, Psalm 121. It began, "In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me." The first line of the first psalm in the pilgrim's journey was a psalm that declared, "In our distress, God hears us." Now, how important is that for our pilgrim's journey? How important is that to know, to have it settled? Very important, isn't it? And so we know right off the bat, the pilgrim declares this, "In my distress, I cried to the Lord." I have the privilege of traveling with you guys and get to visit different settings, and I know that even today, many of you are going through rough things. If you're not, hang in there. Storms come. They all do for all of us. Those seasons come and go. But in our distress, God doesn't make light of them, but he wants us to understand something. He hears. "In my distress," the pilgrim said, "I cried to the Lord, and he heard me." Important to settle that and know I can go to a psalm that teaches me, reminds me of that truth. The next one is said, Psalm 121. "I will lift up my eyes to the hills." Remember, they're on a journey, and they're traveling towards the hills of Jerusalem. Again, they're going up in elevation. They're up to Mount Zion and all, and there's the hills up ahead of them. And they look and they go, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where comes my help?" My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. There's that declaration you get of who it is. He's the creator God. But where's my help come from? Not just hills, not just a place, but from a person with a capital P. My help comes from the Lord. That reminder that there's a refuge, there's a place, and we can come to him. The next psalm reminded us, it began with, "I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord." I was glad when I got to join with other pilgrims and travel to the house of the Lord. Are you glad? Are you glad you got to come here today? Are you glad you're headed home? If you're a believer, if you receive Christ as Savior, you're headed home to the Lord. Amen. Get excited about it and rejoice. Be glad. I was glad. We're all headed home. We're headed to him. Psalm 123 reminded us, "Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God." For what purpose? "Until he has mercy on us." Remember, we looked at that psalm, and it talked about how in that culture, the servants, if they were at a gathering where their master was, they would watch their master. Anything he would bid, they were ready to respond to. They didn't look around. They didn't worry about what the other guy's boss was doing. They looked to their master. They washed his hands. For what purpose? To do his bidding, to be there to respond. Well, he says, as that happens, Lord, we look to you until he has mercy on us. Does anybody here ever need mercy on their pilgrim's journey? About three of you, okay. I know I sure do. And we all do. I know I catch you by surprise when I do that. What's he want? Am I supposed to raise my hand? We all need mercy. There's a place to be found. Only one place, the place that matters. but it's there. Lord, I'm going to look to you in my pilgrim's journey for the mercy I need all along the way. The next psalm in this pilgrim's, the songs of the pilgrim. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us. We know that Israel suffered much, and they had many things that would come along. And they said, Lord, if you had been watching out for us, we'd have been goners. True for them, true for us. Lord, if you weren't on our side. But the Bible declares he is for us, not against us. Thank God. He's not out to catch me and find some reason to keep me out. He sent his son to get me in. But notice that, Lord, if you hadn't been there, I'd been fried, I'd been cooked. But he was there. The next psalm, Psalm 125, those who trust in the Lord, the qualifier, those who place their trust in the Lord, are like Mount Zion. They're walking up, they see the mountains, how solid and strong they are. Well, those who trust in you, Lord, they're like that mountain, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. You cannot escape God. He goes with you. Wherever you go, he's there. You're not afraid he got there, and he's there with you in it. He never leaves. He never forsakes. How important is it to us in our pilgrim's journey to have that settled? See, I don't want us to go through these and go, that was an interesting series. I intellectually learned some things. I want us to heart know these things and settle them in all that we go through. That the Lord's with you now and forever if you receive Christ as Savior. Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, that's a way of saying those who had been captive. They'd been delivered. They'd been taken into captivity, but then they came back. We were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. They were captives who had been set free. Spiritually speaking, is there anybody here that was a captive that's been set free? There we go. Yeah, exactly. Captive. We were in that, you were captive to sin. That old way, all that stuff that was about. But Jesus rescued you and I. We've been set free. And they said, they couldn't believe it. Their mouth was filled with laughter. Their tongue was singing over this. Let's not be blah about it. Oh, it's worth it. Yeah, it's okay to laugh about and celebrate and sing. I was lost. I was dead. I was captive. I'm a set free one. The chains are broken. Didn't earn it, don't deserve it, but he did it. And the people look at it and go, God's done a great thing there. And they responded, he has done great things for us. That psalm talks about it. And you might find yourself sometimes struggling. You know what? I want to go read about those captives set free. And you go to Psalm 126 and be reminded of the truth of what God has done for us. We must scoot along here. Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It's talking about foundations, building our house on the Lord. The only one that thing that will, everything else is sinking sand. The only thing that will withstand that the trials and the tests and the storms are built on him. And unless the Lord's doing it, it's in vain. It will profit us nothing. But if we will build on him, then indeed. Lives that have victory, lives that have strength in the storms, lives that make it through. That's the one that goes on to talk about the blessings of children and all. Good stuff. Psalm 128, 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. We're in a pilgrim's journey. The phrase walk means to order your life in a certain way. When we say we're on a pilgrim's journey, it means the journey we're making through life, what we're experiencing through life, the way we walk, where we put our foot. That which guides us in all. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Has that reverential awe of the Lord. I mean, the reality is, want to be blessed? Track with the Lord. Obey the Lord. Walk in his ways. And that's the place of blessing. He says those things for us, not him. For us. Good reminder, Psalm 128, Psalm 129. Many a time they've afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel now say, many a time they've afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. Again, they were a persecuted people. And we've known that. We've seen the Jews, how they've been persecuted throughout history, but they're back in the land. And they have prevailed. Lord, a lot of affliction, but it hasn't won. Same for us. A lot of affliction, but we will prevail. He will present us before the throne faultless. We will be there. He's committed himself to it. Psalm 129. Psalm 130. Out of the depth I have cried to you, O Lord. So it's no, he's deep. He's crying out from hurting places. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. But here's why I put this, why I went on to the next part of this verse. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. Had a privilege of visiting with somebody recently who's going through some issues, some health issues and all. And I was talking to the person, and I just, because of my own, where I'm at tracking, where we're tracking together and all, I went to Psalm 120, the beginning of the Pilgrim Psalm, start talking about how in our distress, we cry to the Lord, and He hears us, and we can know that and experience it. And I was sharing from that. And then I was drawn to go to this one. See, that's how this is supposed to work, to know God's Word, to know the truth of it, to be comforted and guided, and also to share with others, remind them. And I was reminding the person, thank God that God doesn't keep score. Lord, if you kept track, who could stand? I have nothing to commend myself to you. My good cannot weigh the bad, did I go? It's not like that. Sin's not like that. But there's a psalm that declares there is forgiveness with God. And it's right there. Not the only one, but there is. That he might be feared. Again, there might be that response of reverential awe. But thank God there's forgiveness for us on our pilgrim's journey. The next psalm. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. It spoke of humility. A proud, arrogant, blustery Christian is an anomaly. It shouldn't be. What's that about? Because if someone who really gets it will have a humbleness produced in them. There'll be that poverty of spirit that Jesus talked about. There'll be that result that, Lord, this is me. But he loves us in that place. So a real Christian doesn't put on air. It's about humility. And it went on to talk about that type of stuff. Psalm 132. Lord, remember David and his afflictions. What's worth worrying about? What's that psalm? Why would I want to remember that? Remember Psalm 132. What was Psalm 132? What's this say? What was David's affliction? Remember, David got to thinking. He lived in a palace. Meanwhile, God's living over there in that tent. The ark's over here in a tent. And he said, God, my affliction is, I live nice. You live in that tent. Your ark's there in the tent. I'm not going to go to bed. I'm not going to rest until I build you a house. Remember that? That was the burden. That was the affliction of his heart, that psalm said. Well, we know this from Scripture. God came to David and said, David, you can't build me a house. You're a man of blood. Your son will, but you can't. You can't build me a house, but I'll tell you what I'll do for you, David. I'm going to build you a house. And not just a building that's going to perish, but I'm going to build you a household, a lineage. And through your line, David, will come the Messiah. And on your throne, the day will come, he'll rule and reign from his kingdom. And David's just going. And he says he goes in before God and goes, who am I that you would do this? Who are we that you and I are going to live and rule and reign with him? Think of that. We're heaven bound. We'll be there in that kingdom. Think of all this points to. Don't take it for granted. You like Psalm 22, 23? Take all these and understand they're pointing out truth for our pilgrim's journey. Look out, pastor's getting excited. But it's so awesome stuff for all of us to remember and lay hold of. Well, the next one, we're almost up to where we are now. Psalm 133, last week we looked at this. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The importance of seeking and guarding unity in the body. this oneness that Jesus prayed for, that we would all be one in Him, just as He and the Father are one, He prayed, that we would all be one. And we looked at that. There's no place for Lone Ranger Christians. That all of us are needed in the body of Christ. All have our place. But then the blessing, oh, how good it is. How pleasant it is. These pilgrims are tracking along. Again, they're coming from different parts of Israel and all. All of a sudden, the roads are kind of merging together. All of a sudden, they're walking with other pilgrims. And the pilgrim gets to look around and he goes, this is awesome. We're all traveling in the Lord together. We're all going to worship the Lord together. Our destination will arrive at that. We'll all be together. How great it is. So have the unity. And don't be separate. And then, of course, this morning's, behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who by night stand in the house of the Lord. That concluding psalm, our call, the chief end of man, is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, Westminster Catechism. The idea of bless the Lord. Pilgrims, bless the Lord. Think of all that other stuff we just looked at. Bless the Lord. He's worthy. So it speaks of our response. Good psalm to be reminded of in all that. Each pilgrim psalm shows us who we need for our journey. Who we need to be walking in our life's pilgrimage. And it reminds us of all He has for us. All that He's designed for us in this pilgrim's journey. Let's not come short. Let's not come short of it. You know, Jesus had been crucified and He had risen, but the word had only started to get out. And meanwhile, a couple of guys were making their way back from Jerusalem, heading to Emmaus. You know the story. But they're walking along with Jesus, joins with them, but they didn't recognize Him. For some reason, their eyes are not open to who He is. And they come up and they're discouraged and walk along. And finally, Jesus goes, what has you guys so down? I'm paraphrasing. But you, why are you guys troubled? Well, there was this Jesus, and we thought He was going to do this, but now He's been crucified. So people said He rose, but we don't get it and all. We don't understand this. We thought this. And Jesus finally says to them, oh. You know, and folks say, you're foolish. Don't you know? And it says Jesus began, He went back, and He started using scriptures, in their case, the Old Testament. He used the prophets, He used the scriptures to show them Him, how the Messiah had to suffer, had to go through these things. And it says He's teaching them and all, and they finally arrived where they're at. And there's an interaction in which they see who He is. He departs from them. And they were excited now. They were excited. Matter of fact, let me read that. That's in Luke 24 here real quick. But I always love this portion of Scripture. It says they got all excited. And their eyes were open. They knew Him. And He vanished from their sight. And then we read this. These two who've been walking on a road. Like we are walking on the road here. That's the example of this. We're on our Jericho road. We're traveling through life. And these two have been walking. And all of a sudden, they see who He is. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us on the road and while He opened the Scriptures to us? That's my prayer. Did not our hearts burn as He walked with us on the road? He talked with us on the road. He opened His Word to us on the road. Then came the burning heart. Did not our hearts burn within us as He talked with us on the road of life, and while He opened His Word to us? May God, see, if I'll spend time, He opens His Word to us. If we will spend time with Him, He speaks to our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through the Word. If we'll spend that time in His Word, He opens it up, and oh, comes the burning heart. Too often, what the burning heart's first. Lord, get me excited about it. Let me shake this off. Then I'll spend some time. No, but as I recognize His presence in that situation, as I recognize Him right there with me through it, as I begin to let Him speak to me and guide me and open His Word to me, did not our hearts burn within us? I pray for burning hearts as He opens His Word to all of us. I trust He's doing that for some. Even right now, I have found on my life journey that our Lord is faithful. He's faithful in our life's pilgrimage. He has, and He is, and He will guide us. And the degree that I pay attention and let Him to, He opens the Word, He reveals Himself, I get to know Him more and more. And then, that sets our hearts on fire. That's worth it. Well, what should we title the psalm? You've been with us. You know that I've been encouraging all of us to come up with some titles for the psalms. For what purpose? Again, the idea of giving us a sort of handle on the psalm. That through remembrance of that title, you might go, there's a psalm that speaks about that. Let's read that one. Oh, I need some comfort. I can go there. I need some hope. I remember that one speaks about that. What should we title this psalm? G. Campbell Morgan, who we've been tracking through in all this, he calls it the rest, Jehovah, the rest of the pilgrim. He thinks of this being nighttime. Things have settled down there in Jerusalem. People are settled down at night. But meanwhile, in the quiet of the night, there's worship going on in the temple. But he talks about it being a blessing as the blessings return and the peace and the rest from it all. Israel My Glory titles it Our Blessing. I've titled it Bless the Lord, just taken from that first verse of this psalm, Bless the Lord. Well, I've been encouraging all of us to do this all along the way, to come up with a title for each of these pilgrim songs. I'm going to go around now. I'm going to call on each of you to give me your list. No. I'm never going there again. I can't believe he called me out. No, it's between you and the Lord. If you've been writing it down, awesome. If you're able to remember it, great. But the idea is to try to capture, and the idea of titling was to try to capture one main thought, or the main thought of that song, so we would hopefully know it and live it, be able to walk in the truth of it. Well, I want us now to take a second and consider these, I call them title chains, you'll see. Now, we've been tracking with G. Campbell Morgan. Morgan, by the way, he gives a title to every single psalm, if you go to his commentary. He must think that's pretty important, and it's a good way to learn. But we've been tracking with him, and we come up with our titles each week. I've thrown his title in there, but I want us to consider them, and you'll see why when we get done. But as he went through this, these are the titles he put on it. Now, he always begins by saying Jehovah, pointing to who it's all found in. And the first psalm, Psalm 120, he titled it Jehovah, the Hope of the Pilgrim. Now, how important is that to a pilgrim? To all of us, very important. There's times it may not feel too hopeful. Is there a place I can read about the hope? Is there a scripture that might help me? This is one. You can go to that psalm. It speaks of the hope of the pilgrim. The next one was Jehovah, the Help of the Pilgrim. And he repeats Jehovah all the way through it, and of the pilgrim. I guess I don't have to go through all those for you, but he speaks of these as speaking of the hope, the help, the glory, the helper, the deliverer, that God is all these things for us. Remember, that's what he's talking about. The protector of the pilgrim, restorer of the pilgrim, homemaker of the pilgrim. By the way, if you're recording these, or you can always check the tape out, or I can get them to you later, but I need to move on for time's sake. But he goes on. Jehovah, the homekeeper of the pilgrim, the confidence of the pilgrim, the redeemer, the satisfaction, the assurance, the gatherer, unity, the gatherer, and the rest of the pilgrim. Now, highlighted the various aspects of God. And these are just scratching the surface of the nature and character of God, what he has for us. But look how important they all are. To have assurance when doubts might rise up. To have hope, to know that there's a Redeemer. He's my Redeemer. All those things that these point to, all for us. See, each of these hopefully help us understand why they're given, why we're to sing them, why they're there to remind us of him. Now, but notice, he does title them all Jehovah. Why? That's for the Lord. Because it's only found in him. Only in the Lord are these things found. Not in religion, not in being good, not in looking around. He's not one of many places to find these things. All that out there is, and again, that sinking sand. There's only one place, but it is found in him. There is a place of hope for the pilgrim. There is a place of purpose and meaning and life and all those things found in the Lord for our life's journey. Well, I also made a list up of my titles. Now, they're not as fancy as his. They're not as well structured as his. But hey, these are the ones I gave us along the way. I came up with things like this. Remember the first one? I cried, he heard. Well, right down to that. Remember it said, in my distress, I cried to the Lord and he heard me? So I titled it, our first time together, that first one, I put it together. I cried and he heard. And I need that. I love the Lord. I just thank God for that truth. I cried and I have this assurance. He hears me. And of course, I moved through it. The Lord our keeper, traveling in, giving thanks for the name of the Lord, all the things that are in the name of the Lord for us. Our merciful God, the Lord our deliverer and helper, our protector, our restorer, our builder and guard. The blessedness of fearing and walking in God's ways. The Lord our protector, Jesus our glorious redeemer, our sufficient God, God's promise for the pilgrim, one in Jesus. That's why I call it the Unity One. We're one in Jesus. And then today's, bless the Lord. Not fancy, not as well structured as his, but it helps me memorize it. Helps me remember it. Make sure you do the same. Make sure you do the same. So we can call upon the one who this is pointed to, the one who it's all about. The idea I did going through those, again, was just to help us see, maybe in a better way, how the titles help. Because again, it all points to what and who we have in Jesus in our pilgrim's journey. So consider the flow of the whole thing, the psalm, and all they reveal about the Lord and all. His love for us along the way. Pilgrim, we have much to sing about in the Lord. And may the Lord find us doing that. Behold, you servants of the Lord, bless the Lord. You have many reasons to bless him. Worship him. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Bless the Lord. We have much reason to do so. And then to travel with him in it all. What an encouragement. What a blessing. The Apostle Paul declares in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's partly what these psalms do for us. They remind us in our pilgrim's journey, in the needs of our pilgrim's journey, there is one who knows and meets those needs. On what basis? According to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. I'm going to invite the worship team up as we now respond to all of this. I invite you to worship and respond to the Lord. Let's close our journey through these songs by once again looking here at Psalm 134. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. We're going to spend some time responding to the Lord in worship right now. This is the time to worship and praise. Lift up your hands and give praise. But I also want to offer you some altar time down front. Maybe it'd be meaningful for you today to come down front and just thank him for all he is for us in this pilgrim's journey. Maybe it's some time, and no one's going to bug you down here, but if you want to come down front, maybe just recommit to the journey, recommit to getting your eyes on him and the journey, to look up instead of around, whatever it might represent. Again, maybe it's just going to come down front and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you don't mark iniquity. Thank you that you, all these things that you are, the foundation, the refuge, all these things, the hope you are to us. The altar is available for that. It says here, the Lord who made heaven and earth bless you from Zion. The blessing for them came from Zion, so to speak. That's where they went to gather and worship the Lord. That was their place to gather together, and that was their acknowledged place to kind of meet with the Lord and all. So the priest would say, the Lord bless you from this. But wherever they went, that blessing remained with them. Wherever they would go, that blessing was with his people. Our blessing is from him who lives and reigns in heaven. And it's for each of us on our pilgrim's journey. And it's not just for when we're here, But when we go out from here, because he's right there with us along the way, we can know this. And so it's my privilege just to declare, the Lord bless you now and always. Father, thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your love and all that we've looked at today and all just all we find in you. Lord, we offer up our praise, our worship to you now. We give thanks, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen.